Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 159. This will be the final episode for 2017. We're recording this on Sunday, December 17th, the weekend that The Last Jedi came out, so that'll probably dominate a little bit of our conversation, because it's the big elephant in the room we got to talk about at least a little bit here, even though we have a whole show dedicated to Star Wars. I've got my two regular co-hosts with me tonight. I have Lizzie and Tim. Lizzie, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. And I'm not on that regular Star Wars show, so I need a place to vent.
There you go. And you're going to do your own venting on Movie Rampage, too. I know both you and Tim will do that as well. I can't wait to hear that one.
But you won't be there for it. Oh, yeah. And I feel like
I'll listen to it.
I gotta have a loo chat. We gotta have a loo chat.
Well, we may have a whole roundtable with a whole network at some point, maybe after the first of the year when we've seen it a couple times. Ooh. And kind of hash this out a little bit. Maybe we'll see. That might be fun.
Oh, that's fun. That's a good idea.
I want to do that, please.
Okay.
Crazy and undisciplined, just like the movie draft.
Maybe not that undisciplined. Does get a little bit out of whack.
P.S. Everyone needs to blame Andrea for my Black Panther purchase. By the way, do not blame me. It is not my fault. I was more than happy to take it for 65 credits. So there you go.
But you said you wanted it.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks. Yeah. There's a lot of folks in the listener draft who are really displeased with Liz. And I got to say, I will side with Liz. It is not Liz's fault.
It's absolutely not my fault.
It was honestly my plan all along to bid her up, because I knew, like she'd been saying for weeks, I want Black Panther. So I started it. I think
they did like a jerk.
And went a while. And then Andrea picked it up and she kept going. Like Andrea took it to
Andrea
the point
beyond
where, like,
where any of us would have went.
I was out. I was done.
There's no way.
I mean,
and Andrea
was just trying to see how much anarchy she could cause. So you can think about that when you are upset about the purchase and not think about me, because I am not an anarchist at all.
Yeah, we're going to do the whole hashtag blame Andrea thing from now on. So.
Yeah, we are.
Sheer
out
chaos.
Of love, fun. But
sheer
she
chaos.
Gets it, not me. So I'm just saying, put it where it counts, people.
Well, let's go into the box office updates. And it actually, well, before we do, we all saw Star Wars Last Jedi, correct?
Yes, we did. We saw that
Tim,
movie.
You saw it as well? No, no, Lizzie.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think you saw it twice, you said, right?
I did. I did see it twice.
Yeah, I have not yet seen it my second time. I'm definitely going back to see it a second time at some point. But overall impressions, I mean, thumbs up, thumbs down. Lizzie?
It's a really good movie, and I really like it. And
I sense a butt coming.
I mean, it's like, because everybody was asking my opinion, because I did a full like Insta story about my day. I wore a Wookiee onesie, and I was like talking about all my excitement, like all the way leading up to it. So everybody was like, "You didn't,"
which was adorable.
Thank you.
By
I
the
actually
way.
Have. I have two, so there might be a giveaway on my Instagram soon. So,
ooh, awesome.
You might want to win one, listeners. And so I didn't do any reactions afterwards on Instagram. So everybody was like, excuse me, like, what did you think of it? And I was like, it's a really good movie and I really like it a lot. And they were like, that's a dumb, like, what is that? And I'm like, I don't know what I can't say 100, like, that I love it. But once somebody pointed out to me that Star Wars plus time equals a deep abiding love. So I feel like I need to have a lot of time with it, because I've had since I was 4 years old with the original trilogy. You know what I'm saying? So like, I think there's a level of time that I don't have with the newer movies that I even have with the prequels. That's sort of a strange thing, because they get so much hate and I really like them, but I was the right age when they came out. So I've had time with those that I just haven't had yet, and I need more time, okay? Like, that's just what I'm saying, is I need more time.
Yeah, I mean, the prequels have been out for almost 20 years now.
More than half my
Phantom
life.
Menace,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that was a really good point that he made. He made it at church today, because he was like, I really have been wanting to know what you thought. And I was like, all these people wanting to know my thoughts. Like, this never goes well when I tell my thoughts, right? Like, it's not good. I mean, let's just point to Justice League for evidence, but like, so I was like, I don't want to give any spoilers. So
yeah. So just to be clear, we're not going to do spoilers in this episode. We're going to kind of stay spoiler free. But you know, like you, Lizzie, I really enjoyed the movie too. I liked it.
Yeah.
I can't say I loved it. I had some problems with the movie. I mean, not structural problems with, you know, it wasn't like a pacing thing or a dialogue thing or direction. To me, it was more of what we didn't get that we wanted and things that happened that I didn't really agree with, I guess. Yeah. I'd say those are probably the things that make it maybe not a love, but a like for me at this point. But I mean, I was blown away by the movie when I was there.
Yes.
And afterward, I'm going, okay, these are the points I have against it, but I'm still blown away by the movie.
Yeah. There were some parts that were just so undeniable, and they were, I felt like they took some like Empire Strikes Back risks. Like I was saying to you guys, some Return of the Jedi risks, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like some Luke is your, mm-hmm. Luke, I'm your father risks, some Leia and Luke being twins risks. And I think that those were shocking at the time because I don't think a lot of movies took risks like that. So this movie took some risks in some ways I did not expect and was really pleased with. But there were just some other pieces that I was just like, I don't know that it feels like Star Wars to me at some point because of these choices. So that's just my disconnect. It doesn't mean I don't think it's a great movie. And I do like seeing people who love Star Wars at the helm. Like, I really do like seeing that. Mm-hmm. I think that like John Boyega and Kelly Marie Tran and like Rian Johnson and all, and I don't know that Daisy Ridley, like she doesn't have that effervescent Star Wars, like I'm in Star Wars, holy crap thing where the others do. I love seeing that. Like, I think that like, that's what we all as fans like fantasize about. So to see that in them is sort of like the press mm-hmm. around it is more exciting to me than the actual movie at some point, but maybe that's not true, but I don't know. I just, that's where I'm at. So where are you at, Tim?
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Tim?
Gosh, I mean, really kind of 100% on with where you guys are. I like it, but don't love it yet. And I think that's, I think as Star Wars fans, we are a little more critical of the movie because we had certain things that we wanted, certain things that we were looking for. And I think that's okay. I think there also has been an insane amount of negativity out there from a lot of folks on it, too, which I think is unfair. And people can like it. People cannot like it. That's fine. I mean, Liz and I have talked about this a lot, obviously, on Movie Rampage, particularly in regard to our whole Justice League conversation and stuff. There are things with this that I think have gone off the rails. We've gone once again over to some, you know, change.org petition bullshit that people have posted up there with wanting Rian Johnson removed from the franchise, with wanting this movie removed from the canon. This was a good movie. It had, you know, put any movie out there, and I'm pretty sure that there are a couple of things that any of us will find that we don't like. There may be certain choices that are made either in writing or directing or whatever that are made that we don't like. I love the directing of this film. It gives me all the confidence in the world of Rian Johnson staying on for another trilogy. I mean, 100% confident with this guy. Some of the writing had some choices which were a little wonky to me. I think there were some things in there. We talked about this kind of with the trailers that had some misdirection. And I think there was some misdirection in the movie, and I don't want a predictable movie,
right?
But some of that misdirection went to the point that to me, it was a little distracting within the movie. And that was just my own experience, but I've heard from a lot of people that the second viewing helps clear that up because now you've gone past that and you can really just focus on the story itself.
I did feel that way about my second viewing.
So,
because I mean, You don't have the initial shock reactions, and so you don't, like, I feel like your heart's not racing quite as much in a second viewing, and you're able to, like, hear things you missed and, like, notice things you missed. I mean, that's true of any movie, but especially Star Wars, which is, I mean, I think there was so much in this, there were so many things in this movie that you had to take in and, like, process. And so you can't do that with one viewing. Plus, I told the guys this before, but I had a bunch of hecklers in my theater behind me, like a bunch of like teenage youths.
Don't do that, people.
I should have yelled at them, but I didn't, because I sensed that they were the kind of people that would have made a bigger deal about it. And I was like, like, I'm already annoyed. Probably. I don't want to be more annoyed. Yeah. But yeah. Like, whenever it was quiet on screen, they'd be like, oh, Kylo, blah, blah. And I was like, what is your purpose in life right now? Like, but they.
Yeah. No, I overall, I will say I like the movie. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. And I think that'll kind of really enhance my experience with things. So right now I give it a solid one thumbs up. One, because that's kind of where I feel. And two, because, well, my other hand is no in the other full cast, thumb. So I don't have a second thumb. But it has one thumb up for me right now.
No, yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're all on the same page. We're all fans of this. And I think that, you know, it's going to get better with time. Yeah. I mean, I don't have as many problems with this. Some people do. You look at the internet now and it's just people are just really, really, you know, disgruntled with the movie. They don't like the way it went. And I think that some of that is like the same thing we had with the prequels. You know, I didn't care for The Phantom Menace because that's not the movie I wanted. Right. I didn't want to have a little 9-year-old Anakin. I wanted a different story. But it's the story we got. And I enjoyed the movie. I like The Phantom Menace. But it's not what I wanted. So people, I can see if they didn't want this movie for what they got, I can see it being really, you know, making them disgruntled, not, you know, really pissed off about it. But I think as they go on with this, it'll become more part of their, you know, Star Wars experience and be okay with it. I hope.
I think one of the things that's really surprising, yeah. I know for me that, like, I think I give Star Wars a really wide berth personally because I'm a fan because I've loved it since I'm a kid. So, yeah, I had some issues with it and there was a couple things I just felt like were missing. And I feel like, Lou, there are things that I really wanted to see and I didn't see. Like, okay. Like, I will say this movie more than than Force Awakens or Rogue One or any other or prequels or whatever. Like, but mainly maybe Force Awakens. Like, I wasn't so sad that the canon got legended, you know, like the expanded universe book canon got turned into legends for Force Awakens as I was for this one. I was like, knowing what happens in the expanded universe and reading as many of the books as I have and like having that knowledge in my head, I was really sad that they disbanded this universe and went this way with it for this particular movie. That's not fair because they had to. And I support Disney's decision to have done that. But I wasn't sad about it in Force Awakens, and I was watching this movie. So I think that is something that I'll say.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, I still give Star Wars a wide berth and say, like, whatever, it's Star Wars, I love it. Like, nothing's going to make me turn away from the franchise or, like, hate on somebody who loves Star Wars as much as me and gets to make one. Like, I support him.
You know, I guess one thing we can say about this whole thing, whichever side of this, you know, debate you fall on, we're all passionate fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think everybody is entitled to their own position on this. And just as long as we don't, you know, berate somebody for what they feel about this, I think we're all in a good place.
I think that's the problem, because, you know, is there's a lot of berating.
Passionate about this and say, I want something different, or passionate about this and it's amazing. And neither one of us are wrong.
Right.
I said that on Twitter. I said, fandom is not about right and wrong. It's about feelings and what you feel about something, which I felt like also responding about Justice League PS.
Well, no, you guys are wrong about that, but that's a different story, Charlie.
But, like, yeah, so that's upsetting to see people not be able to, like, take someone else's feelings and just put it in the feelings pile and move on, you know?
So the one other thing about this whole controversy is, I mean, this is the widest difference between the critic score and the audience score in Rotten Tomatoes for any Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
The critic score is 93%. They like it, obviously. The audience score is 56%.
I think I think that's because it's a critically good movie. It's a really good movie. Like, you can't, feel about it, you can't say it's not engaging and shocking and smart and all those kinds of things. You can say that you feel betrayed by choices or you feel like they were wrong, but you can't say it's not a good movie. And I do think that that's true.
There is some speculation that the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes has been...
I was just going to go there, yeah.
Yeah, basically, you know, hacked or not hacked, but slapped by bots and such. So, Yeah, so it's, you know, someone who creates 10 bots to downvote it on there. And when you get enough people that do that, obviously that's going to influence it. So,
dear people who create bots, there's a special place in hell for you. I'm just saying.
Yes.
I don't get it. Like, what is your life about?
It's not as deep a level as hell as the people who are using change.org petitions.
I don't think they know what they're for.
Things, but.
It's a different circle of hell. It's the same place, but different circle of hell. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing about it. I think that these new movies are so important for the diversity that they bring into Star Wars, for the different representation that they're bringing in. So regardless of how I feel about it, I think the choices that are being made and the direction that they're opening up for and the way that they're sort of kicking the door open on Star Wars is beautiful to see. And the more representation and the more like diversity that we have in the Star Wars universe, the more it really does represent all of us that love Star Wars. And so I'm happy about that. And I love to see that. So regardless of the other things, there are things that I can latch onto and say like, yeah, I have a feeling of like, oh, I wish this and oh, I wish that and blah, blah, blah. But like, I'm super happy with a lot of the choices that they're making. And I'm going to see every movie Disney, Star Wars, Lucasfilms does for the rest of the time and of the world. Can't say that about DC and Justice League, by the way.
We saw some great casting choices, and we're really seeing some terrific characters develop, characters that that started in The Force Awakens and have continued on here, some characters that just started in here. I think it's really good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the future of it, and I'm looking forward to talking to it more in depth through a variety of different means that we're going to have here on the network.
Lou, can you tell everybody what you thought when you saw Holdo? Cause it made me so happy.
Okay, sure. Every time Vice Admiral Holdo was on screen, I kept thinking, that's Lizzie. That should be Lizzie's cosplay. She should do that next time I see her. Convention.
It made me so happy, perfect. You guys. It was perfect. And I'm going to. This is happening. Next Star Wars Celebration wherever.
There's resemblance. There's resemblance in the way you carry yourself. There's also the hair color thing. So,
and my snarkiness.
Yeah, it works. yes, it works. It all works for me.
Oh, it made me so happy. Thank you, Lou.
No problem. One other question for you guys real quickly. What did you guys think of Del Toro in the movie?
Okay, I thought he was hilarious. And just good choices. I thought he was real, like, weird and quirky and very Star Wars-y.
Now, see, to me, that was the part of the movie that was very un-Star Wars-y, but I liked
really?
Him. I liked his character. I liked the way he did it, but it didn't feel very Star Wars-ish to me. But
I can see that. Like, I can't point to another character that I think of that I would think of to, like, put him with. But I don't know. I just felt like he was so good.
Yeah, he was definitely good. In the role.
But we also have to say, can we just say about Kelly Marie Tran and how, like, adorable and wonderful she is and how she's, like, a shiny rainbow that we don't deserve on this planet. Like, I love her so much.
She did so great in the movie. And then, her as a person on the red carpet and stuff, her excitement is just, like, so out there. And it's awesome to see.
It's she's the John Boyega from 2 years ago. She's, like, 2 years ago, John Boyega on the red carpet was that. And now she's that. Do you see her crying and Daisy Ridley was, like, consoling her? Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. She's just so excited to be a part of this as any of us would be. And I just think it's terrific.
Yeah. I love seeing the red carpet stuff, or like Laura Dern interacting with BB-8 and like just to think of like being in their shoes. Yep. That just elevates it for me to get to see that part, you know? So yeah, in for it.
Well, now that we're 20 minutes in, let's get into the box office update.
We would go off the rails.
I know, but we had to. It was the biggest thing that we, obviously, from the results here.
I know.
So number one of the box office weekend, and these are just estimates because we're recording this Sunday night, Star Wars The Last Jedi with $220 million domestically.
That's some change.
That is pretty amazing. It made $105 for the first night, including the Thursday preview.
Eric is very happy.
we had our estimates beforehand and guesses, and I was 180 to 185, so I was wrong. Eric was 215, so he was just shy of what the thing was. And Tim, what were you, like 350 or something like that? I know you're way over there.
I was like 205 or 210.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Yeah.
Did I make a prediction? I don't think I made one.
No, I think it was just the three of us had done that. But
rude.
But I'm glad to see it did what it did. Now, I was wondering if the numbers were going to start tanking just from all the bad, you know, fan reaction.
Star Wars doesn't tank.
It seemed to stay. Yeah, yeah, definitely see it. I think pretty much everybody had pre-bought their tickets, so that was going to be the case anyways.
Yeah. This was the second largest opening day take in box office history, only second to The Force Awakens.
Yep. Makes sense.
And we're not just talking Star Wars, folks. We are talking all movies ever.
Makes sense.
Right. It's impressive. So in a close second place this weekend was Ferdinand, the animated movie.
With
13.3 million. I thought it was 213. No, it was just 13.3 million. Coco in its fourth week brought another 10 million in for 150 total.
Coco's doing lovely.
Wonder in its fifth week brought in 5.4 for 109 million. Pretty respectable. Justice League is still in the top five, brought in another 4.1 million for the weekend.
Go Justice League, go. No. Burn me some money.
Now, Tim, I was looking at Justice League today, too, just to see where you were going to be kind of rounding up here. Because remember, we stopped counting their results once they dip below 5 million for the week.
True. That's
and
true.
And I think it, let's just pull Box Office Mojo up
below
here.
5 million this week, P.S.
No. It was over 5 million for the weekend, so it was definitely up for the week, but... let's see, where is weekend estimates and Justice
League? Oh, for
the
week, I see.
Weekly, yeah. So it made 130 in the first week, 49, then 21, now 12. So I think next week might be the last week you actually get money out of this movie. So it's going to top out about 224, maybe, probably, or something like that, 223.
Yeah, but that means you still take it, though, because Thor did what?
Well, it depends on what, the 400 million cap.
Yeah, but what else has Eric brought in?
Offhand, I don't know. I don't have
We can debrief that.
Eric was last place before The Last Jedi came out.
Right.
And he also has Pitch Perfect 3, which is going to do some respectable money. Nothing huge, but.
Right.
It'll be close. And Liz, actually, I think you're going to be, you're still a competitor.
Yeah, I have Pitch Perfect 3, don't I?
But you have Pitch Perfect 3?
I think I have Pitch Perfect 3 and Greatest Showman.
No, that was the one that we, now we have to tell her the stuff I didn't tell her before. Yeah, that was my fault. You overbid your $100.
How did I overbid?
Oh, this is.
Yeah, we had to take a movie away from you because you actually overspent your $100 and nobody caught it during the thing.
I was keeping very close track. I don't know how that happened.
It did. So I know it's all my fault. So that's going to go to Eric, unfortunately. But sorry.
Cheater.
I think Lou's a cheater.
I wasn't even involved. I was just the ringmaster.
Yeah, one typing the numbers in, Lou.
I think I had an assistant doing that. I don't know.
No one blames the assistants. The captain goes down with the ship, and you know it.
I'll take the fall for this one. I'm sorry.
Can't believe it.
Maybe I'll have to next time we do a thing. I'll have to let Lizzie take one that I was going to outbid her on. So.
You might have to owe Liz. I mean, she was wronged.
I was wronged.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I can throw this at her as, you know, we can chalk this up to her cheating, but still, she was wrong.
Shut up.
She didn't know she was cheating. It wasn't like she was actively trying to cheat. It's just we miscalculated. So, but right now there's no numbers in there for The Last Jedi, but according to team results, you tap on.
Rude.
$400 million for that, plus whatever else he makes on the other, because he's got a couple movies, I think, left, doesn't he?
Now that he has Pitch Perfect 3, you helped him win. Hope you're happy with yourself.
Downsizing
you can tell Tim about
figures
that.
And Pitch Perfect 3.
Yeah, tell Tim you helped him win.
So we'll see. But Tim, I think you might still lose this.
Yeah, because you helped Eric win. Not forgiven.
Here we go. I knew I should have talked to her about that beforehand.
Don't
close.
Ambush me and expect Lizzie, not to get flack sorry. For it is all I'm saying. It's okay. I still like you. You're fine.
Library of books. next week, we actually have some pretty good movies on next weekend, which I'm surprised that there were this many this close to The Last Jedi. But we have Jumanji.
I'm so excited about this
which
weekend.
I think is going to do really, really well. I can't wait for that one.
Looks hilarious, yeah.
The Greatest Showman looks really good, even though it's a musical.
True.
I'm very excited.
They actually did. Before we started recording, I watched the first hour of the Christmas Story live musical on Fox.
Okay.
Yep. Is that good?
And I got to say,
it was Fox, not NBC?
Oh, yeah, it was Fox. Christ. It was okay, not great. But they did have like this little interlude where they pitched in musical form The Greatest Showman.
Ooh.
Which I thought was kind of neat. Yeah.
I mean, it looks really good. I do want to see it because it should be fun. Oh,
I'm excited.
Pitch Perfect 3 is coming out as well, which I'll probably also see because I do have fun in those movies.
And because
I will admit that.
Girlfriend.
Well, Anna Kendrick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Lou and Anna.
I don't have any boyfriends in Pitch Perfect 3.
There's not many boyfriend material in that movie.
Not a lot of boyfriends.
And then Downsizing, which it looks interesting. I think I might see this.
Looks so interesting and like quirky and weird, but like also like really like searingly honest.
I haven't seen much about it, but the trailers I'm seeing look fun, and I'm like, okay, you know, I might do that.
Yeah, I'm into that one.
But I'm definitely going to see Last Jedi again before I see any one of those four. So
I'm seeing Greatest Showman opening night. I have to see it immediately. I'm so excited for it.
Okay.
That's cool. Happening.
Awesome. Okay, let's get right into our news topics here. And of course, the news will be dominated once again by Disney.
Who is that again? That small company that we've heard something about?
It's a little media company. They do some things with like a little mouse or something, I think.
A mouse, how quaint.
Maybe it's a pet store, cool. I think. So Disney announced a merger with Fox or takeover. Fox. I'm not sure how they're really billing takeover. This, but... They're taking over Fox for $52 billion.
A couple of pennies.
I mean, that number is unfathomable to just begin with, but $52 billion gets them Fox. Now,
I mean, the three of us did consider pooling our, couch change and competing with them, but we decided not to. It would have been...
We came up $53 billion short.
Yeah, and it just would have been a big hassle to own a company.
It would be a lot. Like, we'd have to sign a lot of, paperwork. It seemed like a lot of work, so...
Oh, it's like asshole.
We need lawyers involved. Yeah.
It's like buying a house, except 54 billion times worse. Right.
Like we were sort of like, we that sounds nice, but like, why do we really want to? Let's not. That's how that went down.
I know
exactly. So now, in the grand scheme of things, though, what does this mean for us as the viewing public? I mean, Bob Iger came out and announced that. This does, and I thought I didn't hear this at first, but now they're saying this does mean that the Fantastic Four and X-Men will be part of the MCU.
I don't think it's.
Yeah, and so I guess there.
Go ahead. Go.
I guess there was some potential conflict in terms of the Fantastic Four thing because German company, small German company, actually owns rights to them somehow, but this somehow got figured out, and I don't know how. I don't know what the legalese of this was, but I guess somewhere
wrote somebody a check.
Yeah, I think somewhere along the way that company ended up actually sharing the rights with Fox because they couldn't finance anything and Fox could. So that got Fox enough leverage and ownership of Fantastic Four. So they are included in this. Bob Iger confirmed that the Fantastic Four and the X-Men are going to be part of the MCU. So we may see them as soon as Avengers 4, which could be really, really interesting. It also could be really bad with just kind of we've gone through this with 17 movies so far and a handful more movies between now and then. And, holy crap. Hey, there's these new mutant people in this stretchy guy, and God, someone catches themselves on fire. And where did they come from? So for as much as I want to see that, I want to see it with the appropriate setup. And we're not going to get the setup.
No, I kind of think they're going to push this off further. And it kind of felt like, okay, where is Disney going to go, or where's Marvel going to go with new stories and new characters and new stuff to bring to the screen that we all really want to see? Mm-hmm. Now we know, it's going to be X-Men, it's going to be Fantastic Four, and working them into the, you know, phase five or six or whatever the hell we're on now.
Phase four.
I mean, they could
bring in phase good. Four.
What
phase
they
four,
could yeah. do. Yeah. I mean, what they could do basically is drop, you know, the next Ant-Man movie and instead have this kind of getting to know
it's
you
Ant-Man
film
and the Wasp.
With the
we're
Avengers.
Not dropping the Wasp.
I don't want to drop
Ant-Man.
I
don't either. He's wonderful.
Good.
This like is a Paul case Rudd. Where your fandom yeah. feelings are wrong.
Anyway, we get this movie, which is this getting to know you movie with the Fantastic Four and the X-Men and the Avengers all like sitting around yeah. a campfire. And
what are you talking about?
You know, they're all like telling stories and hey, what's up? And what you know, Dr. Doom wanders in what? And
it'd be like the first day of like a consulting project where you had to put up on a wall, you know, three truths and one lie about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And people
it's
think
Marvel,
this one's a lie.
It's
you
Marvel
know?
Yeah. summer camp and we see them all. It's like, oh, it can be like yeah. Parent Trap where they all meet at summer camp and didn't know they were all like related. And then they yeah, have to get the parents back together. Okay. I want to say this, first of all. Is Disney is really good at letting their like companies that they've acquired, so Marvel and Star Wars, it's not like they're like, let's cross over because we own them. They don't just acquire right. and then shove them all together, except for in like the Disney right. whatever video game, which is fun because they're cartoons and it's not the real thing. So fine. But like they're really good at
it's not real.
Shit up. They're really good at separating. So I feel like, number one, they've put someone in charge of the Marvel Universe that has shown that, number one, he's willing to take risks and willing to babysit the whole franchise in a way that is, like, intentional and caring and careful and, like a big, fat puzzle piece. There's no way they're going to be like, ah, X-Men are here. Woohoo! Like, that's just not going to happen. Look at how careful right. they were with Spider-Man. I just feel like they really took a lot of time to acquire him back in, but put him in the right way and gave him the right movie and the right like part in Civil War. They didn't make him the star now that we have Spider-Man, because Spider-Man has long been the most recognized character in the Marvel Universe. And they didn't just say, oh, Iron Man who? Now we have Spider-Man. You know what I mean? So I don't mm-hmm. see them throwing X-Men and Fantastic Four in there like a big old catch-all. I see them, like Lou's saying, phase five or phase sixing it out and really giving them the time. It's not going to be Hugh Jackman, so people are going to be disappointed. And we have to think about Dark Phoenix's art. Hello, look. For those of you who can't see, I have a Dark Phoenix cover of Entertainment Weekly in my hand. Like, this isn't not going to happen now because Disney owns it, because they yeah. know it's going to make money. And more above and beyond anything else, Disney's about making the dollar bills, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. And yeah. Disney has said that all movies that are in any phase of production or post-production are still greenlit. So Dark Phoenix is going to go. Deadpool right. 2 is going to go. All that stuff is
and
still
I
happening.
And it's not going to affect yep. their and television shows either. And think of how many X-Men television shows they have right now.
True.
Well, they did say that, you know, the television stuff, not all the stuff on Fox for television is owned by them.
Oh, right. Okay.
So okay. there was a question about, you know, what happens with Gotham, Lucifer, right. and a few other ones out there that, you know, they may go somewhere else. That doesn't mean they're going to be dead. They just may go somewhere else if Disney doesn't want to have them on their
right,
own.
Right, but
network.
Isn't Fox, right. Fox is doing like Legion and The Gifted and those. So, yes. I mean, those are the X-Men shows that I'm talking about that they're not going to scrap because now they own X-Men and they want to do it their own way. So I feel like they already have so right. much out there X-Men right. that people are enjoying and buying into. I think it would be a bad move on their part to just scrap it for wanting to do it their own way. And I'm all on board with Marvel treating X-Men as part of their canon and introducing them the way they've introduced everybody else in the proper way and giving them their due. You want to hire a new Wolverine, show him to us in 3 years and then give him a whole franchise? Do it. But it needs to be the right way and you mm-hmm. need to use kid gloves to do it. And it can't be like some giant camp party like Tim's talking about. Like, I feel like that would hurt what you've done.
Well, I mean, I hope we get some cohesiveness to this whole thing where you've got a couple people at the top that are kind of directing things and let the people that are making the stuff down right. below them make right. it really well. but have that cohesive vision at the top level that we can all then go, oh, nice.
But that's what Avengers and Marvel has been known for since 2008 when they started Iron Man. So I don't think they have any plans to say, oh, now we're just going to diversify and do everything because we own it. I don't see them doing that at all because they own 7,000 characters. These are just another however many more that we have to work with.
Right.
They've said that Avengers 4 is going to kick open the door into the new universe of what they want to go into the future. That's why they're acquiring it, and that's where they're going to go with it. But they're not going to introduce it till way later. I don't see them doing that at all. And it would be dumb if they did, I think.
The two movie properties I'm kind of wondering about going forward are Avatar and the Alien.
Wait, can we talk? I saw a tweet that said, like, the reason why they purchased this is just to justify making Pandora at Animal Kingdom, to finally justify that making it, which, I mean, that's a really, like, hefty justification cost, I think. But it makes sense now that they made the world.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth $52 billion.
It's a really good part of the theme park. It's dumb that they did it in the first place as a response to Harry Potter when they could have waited and made Marvel Land and ripped it away from Universal, is all I'm saying.
Exactly. I did like the fact that they're going to keep Deadpool rated R.
I did too. There's been kind of a
lack of rated R movies from Disney for a long time.
That's not their brand.
What this goes to is kind of what Liz was saying, was that Disney tends not to micromanage the companies that it owns. So they let them do their thing so long as they're successful. They empower them with the resources so they can maximize their efforts. And we've seen that with the Marvel properties. It will be interesting to see, though, what happens with Fantastic Four and X-Men, if they will continue to be Fox properties, or if they will actually get moved over to be under the one umbrella of Marvel.
I mean, if they put this, if Iger directly says Fantastic Four and X-Men will be in the MCU, there's no mincing the words of what that means. The MCU is one thing and one thing only, Marvel Cinematic Universe. Then that means they're being pulled into it. And that just, now the question is how and where and with what force are they going to do that, given the fact that they still have Dark Phoenix and still have TV shows that are X-Men Universe related. Now, if they pulled in what they're doing in the TV shows, which are still happening, I mean, they'd have to make another, like, Hugh Jackman's never going to be in an MCU movie. And if they did it, I think it'd be really difficult.
Yeah.
And he said himself he's done with Wolverine. Yeah. I mean, he said that a couple of other times, but, you know, same thing. We're never going to get Patrick Stewart's, Charles Xavier in this either. So if people are feeling like that's what they're going to get, they're going to be disappointed, I think. But if you can open your mind to Marvel being allowed to do with it what they want, just the way that they are doing with Spider-Man, then I think that they would be pleasantly surprised with what Disney's gonna, or what Marvel's gonna come up with. Because, again, like I said, Disney allows their properties to do what they do best. Why mess with something? They didn't rip Kathleen Kennedy out of the Lucasfilm chair because they knew that she was the best person to handle it, just the same way they did with Kevin. So it's not gonna happen.
Right.
Now, this also is not a 100% done deal. This still requires FCC approval, correct?
I believe it does. I don't think it's been approved yet. And that does go to kind of our first bullet point here in our show notes. With this purchase or with this merger, Disney now owns 27% of the entire film industry. 27%.
Yeah.
That is a big number.
Yeah, that's real big. And the FCC just recently knocked down AT&T's purchase of Time Warner, because that would have meant that AT&T controlled too much of essentially internet access.
Right.
And so the FCC is very conscientious of, obviously it doesn't create a monopoly, but it goes in that direction. And I think the FCC is being very conscientious of that. A lot of people seem to think that the FCC is going to let this go through. But it'll be interesting. And this could take several months to actually happen to become 100%.
Depends on how many comic book fans they have on the FCC.
True.
You know, true. If they're fans of the stuff, they can say, yeah, let Disney take it.
But, I mean, I have to imagine that there is an office now in Fox headquarters where a Disney vice president has moved in so he or she can be in the loop of everything that's going on there right now, you know?
That's got to be an awkward position to be in.
Hey, I'm here because we own Will.
Well, kind of.
We're doing stuff together.
I mean, it is concerning for that volume of property, and for just for what it means for sort of like the greater world that we live in, and that sort of like now we're going into the FCC repeals of the, you know, all of that kind of stuff, and the internet, the net neutrality discussions, and like. I think that this plays a part in that. I mean, and did you put in the bullet points that they now are going to have or own or have the main stock of Hulu, and which may derail Disney starting their own streaming service if they already own Hulu?
Right. That's a different change there, too. Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about
that. So I feel like 27% is concerning, even from a company that I love as much as I love Disney. I feel like how much of creativity over the long run is going to be sacrificed for corporate ownership and for that kind of thing. I mean, I think that Disney is about creating creativity and dreams, but I think they're also about the bottom line. So
they've got to be about the bottom line. I mean, that's, you know, the main purpose of a corporation is to, you know, enhance shareholder wealth. Has nothing to do about making jobs or anything else. It's about that.
Right. But don't you think it's concerning to own this much? I think it is.
Yes and no. I mean, you know, you start talking about antitrust issues and monopolies and everything else. But in this case, I don't see it being a problem. I mean, what's the downside of a company that's handling properties really, really well owning more properties?
The biggest thing that a lot of folks have come out against with this, and there hasn't been a lot of opposition to this publicly, at least that I've seen. But the consistent issue in the opposition has been that basically competition is healthy in a capitalist economy, competition pushes creativity. But that said, everything within Disney is pretty freaking creative.
Yeah.
So, corporate culture that Disney does, I can only see that enhancing a lot of this stuff and addressing a lot of the issues that we've seen with franchises such as Fantastic Four and X-Men, which have had their flaws.
And, you know, having a company with this much money behind them, if they wanted to do a property because they felt it was the right thing to do that wasn't necessarily going to make them money, they can, you know, offset those losses by everything else they're making on the plus side of other good things they're doing, but may fit in creatively with what they're doing. So we may get stuff that you would never see made because no one's going to take the risk on this small little property that's not going to add a bunch of money to our bottom line, when it may just help the overall picture of, you know, the all-encompassing works we're doing. Let's make this small little indie film type thing and do that with the money we're making from the MCU per se. I can see that kind of thing happening down the road creatively for Disney.
I mean, if anybody was going to own the world, I'd want it to be Disney anyways. I just think, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm on board with them ruling our nation, whatever. Like, yeah, let Disney have it. I mean, I think that other people are not doing as good a job as Disney could be doing is all I'm saying. And I just get nervous with, like, I'm not a big fan of the corporate world. I'm not a big fan of, like, the sort of big business, just owning lives, sort of. That's how it feels to me. It's sort of like Walmart. I'm a bit very anti-Walmart, personally. And so it just feels like it's not a monopoly. It just feels like it's nearing, like, this isn't leveling off where they stop at 27%. They're not going to stop at 27%. And how soon before they own Paramount and New Line and I don't know, whoever else is out there that they don't already own.
But again, you know, look at it this way, though. Would you rather have Disney doing things with the properties that we like and are having, you know, making good movies out of, or Sony owning the rights to Spider-Man and continuing to put a movie out every so many years so they don't lose the rights to that franchise.
No, I agree with you.
Putting out crap movies just to get one out on the screen. You know,
I just think
it's that kind of thing that I think is going to be a good thing for Disney down the road.
I think an empire that's run with somebody who isn't the emperor is great until an emperor comes along and runs it, is what I'm saying. Mm. And so...
That is freaking profound. That's incredible, Liz. That's it.
I was just waiting for Liz now to have the conversation that Anakin and Padme were having on Naboo about who's going to run it. Well, I will. You know, right. I can do it. Right. I'll be a good leader.
Right. So I'd love to see somebody who's not some power-hungry bureaucrat who's going to lobby and get the president that they want in there because they own half of the world. But... that's great that it's not currently the case. How long before it is? You know what I mean? That's sort of the thing that makes me nervous about it. I 100% agree with you. I love that Ava DuVernay is directing Wrinkle in Time and Taika Waititi is doing Thor. And there's all kinds of diversity and beautiful things that are blossoming out of Disney that we wouldn't get if money wasn't behind it. So I get that money rules the world, but I think that that only extends to as far as you don't have an evil dictator running the giant ship that you've created. So as long as the Sith isn't secretly taking over, then we're good. But yeah.
If we see some guy in the background with a hood over his head and in the background behind a curtain, we'll know something's going on.
Bob, if Darth Sidious is there, get out now.
Nod your head twice.
If his name is Palpatine, it's wrong. It's not his real name. You know what I mean? Like, so that's where my concern stems from. And seeing sort of the bigger picture and what we know the world is really like. That's great that it's about fluffy kittens and dreams coming true and creativity. But is that really their bottom line? No. And as soon as somebody who gets into power knows what they have and uses it, then we're screwed because they own half the world. That's what I'm saying.
There is a downside. So yes, you're right. One fun thing out of this whole thing. Did you guys happen to see the tweets from Ryan Reynolds over the last couple of days?
Yes.
Kind of taunting Disney. This has been hysterical. The one I loved was it was a picture of him being escorted out of the parks dressed as Deadpool. And his quote was, yeah, apparently you can't actually blow the Matterhorn. I was like, oh, that's hysterical. I'm like, I really hope Disney puts up with those kind of antics because I think this is just fantastic, you know? Just you know, thumbing your nose at the man, and I know you're paying my paycheck, but you know what? I'm going to have fun with this anyway.
Yeah, I think it's great, and that's very Ryan Reynolds, and it's very Deadpool, whose personas at this point are kind of merged.
Yeah, they're one of the same.
And, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic that's what they're doing.
Okay. Let's see. We don't have a lot of other news this week. There was a little bit of news from the FCC the other day. Speaking of them, they did
retract the
whole neutrality thing. Yeah. We don't have a lot of notes on it because we don't really know where it's going to lay out. I don't think anybody really knows the ramifications of what's going to happen with this. But basically, they're repealing the 2015 law for net neutrality, which is going to open up the internet to competition and less regulation. And I think, I've heard people on both sides of the equation, some people saying, you know, the companies like Comcast and the people that own the pipes are not going to be as happy with this ruling as they thought they were going to be. But, you know, I think we have to wait and kind of see what's going to happen with this. You guys have any thoughts yet? I know it's fairly new stuff, but any thoughts on where this is going to land?
I think it's really unfortunate. We were seeing, apparently not just a repeal of the current law, but from things that I've read, repeal of laws that go back to the time of dial-up.
Really?
Yeah. So there was kind of a particular poaching of certain laws going backwards in time. And, you know, a lot of folks are saying, oh, well, you know, this is all being run by big companies. Well, it's not. I mean, you have companies like Netflix who have come out against this, saying,
right,
you know, basically what they may be forced to do as a matter of, you know, passing the buck, because they may get charged to be streaming movies to their customers. And so they may get charged more for that, which then means that customers are going to get charged more for that, which is really unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have a lot of issues in terms of equity of, well, you know, because I'm streaming movies, I may have to pay more for internet than my parents who live next door to me who aren't streaming movies. Well, you know, if we're both buying internet, who cares what we're doing right. with it? Right. You know, we're both working within the structure of what we have available to us.
Right. I mean, it shouldn't cost me more for the electricity to run my fridge than just run my television.
Exactly.
And that's the thing we could be getting here with the internet is it may cost me more to stream movies if I'm not doing it through Comcast, if I have Comcast on my internet, where I could do something else. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that could come out about this, but it doesn't, I don't really know where we're going to end up.
I could not agree more.
I think Lizzie's been having some technical difficulty here in the background. I was trying to do the, you know, whole, you know, she's on video here and the screen's kind of like, okay, first word is, okay, sounds like. Charade just wasn't working, Lizzie. I didn't really get it, so.
My microphone was sliding, the vice was sliding off the table, and I was like, ah! Sorry, gang. Yes, no, FCC, net neutrality, real concern. Whoa. Am I right?
I mean, hey, you know, are people going to get charged for downloading podcasts?
Hopefully
you know,
not.
I mean, things like that. That's just, it's kind of crazy stuff. So
it scares you when you think about, okay, you know, so I have Comcast for my internet, and Comcast is one of these big companies that owns a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. And are they going to give me hassles if I'm doing more downloads of something else other than through Comcast? I mean, you know, that's the real rub here. And it's like, well, I don't want to get slowed down on some stuff that I want to watch. How do we, the little guy, voice our opinion on this? I guess vote with your dollars and you know, not do the service from them. But
yeah.
I mean, I think what's also concerning is that everything I've seen has been overwhelmingly against this, and yet here we are, and it went through, and everybody was called, and they had however many complaints and concerns, and you know, and here we are. But I think, I mean, I saw a graph that was like, in other countries, this is what net neutrality looks like, and it was like bundle packages. So if you wanted Spotify and iTunes, you pay $10, and if you want Netflix and Hulu, you paid another $10, mm-hmm. and that sort of, you know. And I just don't think we know what's going to happen, because like you said, there's a lot of big players like Netflix who are against this, and if they don't choose to play, where does that leave us?
Yeah.
You know, I just think, you know, there's a lot of like, goodbye internet. Well, I think sort of yes, but also sort of no. And I think the unknown is sort of the part that's, again, going back to the whole empire thing and the emperor, I just think that like, that's a very relevant metaphor for this as well. Yeah. Like whoever is the one that's deciding, because I've seen a lot of, you know, I've seen stuff on both sides. And when you read it and you're not thinking of the other side, you're like, okay, that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Oh, I get it. Oh, okay. Like, it's tough to like collate all of them. So it's just difficult to know if somebody not like Pi, if Pi is in charge, Ajit Pai is in charge, we're all screwed because he's an idiot. But if, you know, if anybody else is in charge that like cares about people, then maybe we'll be fine. Like that's sort of how I feel about it.
And fundamentally what it comes down to, and you know, Lou kind of went in this direction with his last comment, which was Comcast doesn't own Hulu. If Lou wants to stream something through Hulu, and trust me, folks, your internet service providers know what is getting pushed through their pipeline to you.
Yep.
So if you want to be able to stream Hulu with this ruling, they can charge you more for that.
Slow you down.
Yeah, slow you down. And instead, essentially steer you in the direction of a service that they own. To get you to do that. And so that's where this disparity comes in. That's where this inequity comes in. You know, from everything that I'm hearing, this is not necessarily a done deal. While the FCC is the federal executive regulatory agency that is in charge of this, first of all, there's a bureaucracy, both a government bureaucracy and a corporate bureaucracy that needs to engage in order for this to actually take place and for this to happen. But there are also some stopgap measures at the federal government level where Congress is, and it's part of the whole checks and balances thing, so this is nothing new. Congress can actually overrule any type of executive agency changes that occur. There could also be something that if the courts see this as infringing on people's rights, this could go to the courts and the courts can rule it to be unconstitutional or something like that, where they can suspend this this particular ruling. So it's not over yet, but it all depends on what our elected officials are going to do or not do with it. You know, as well as judges, which, you know, probably at a local level, you know, and we elect our local judges, they're probably not going to do anything, but at a higher level, judges are appointed by our elected officials. So, we have, you know, a lot of, this is one of those things that really reflects on every vote counting. And it's not something that you might not necessarily be able to impact right now with a vote, but you can certainly contact your congressional representatives and that kind of stuff. And it's something that we got to keep track of out there. There really is not an upside to this that I see.
No, and I'm sure there's gonna be lawsuits over this, like you said, Tim, and I'm sure, you know, there's gonna be a lot of regulatory stuff going on. The one thing that worries me about this, or I should say worries me, the one thing that makes it hard for the companies to deal with this is the other laws are only 2 years old. You know, yeah. And companies make decisions for infrastructure and expenditures based on what the legislative environment is going to be like. And if it's changing so rapidly now, this may hurt even more to the little guys that can't react and make changes and recover from something like this. So,
yeah,
I think it's going to be tough. I haven't read all the tweets, but there was a little tweet feud between Mark Hamill and Ted Cruz over this whole thing, with references to Star Wars and Vader and the Emperor and so forth. Did anybody really follow that too much, either one of you guys?
I saw it and thought it was ridiculous of Ted Cruz. I mean, but I don't really put a lot of stock into him, so I really think he's ridiculous on a regular basis. So,
yeah, that's true. I mean, anybody in government really is, but
I actually wasn't aware of it until I saw it here in the show notes, and then started going back into Twitter and looked at some of the tweets. And yeah, you know, largely the genesis of this is that Mark Hamill increasingly over the last couple of years has gotten a little more politically active in social media.
And beautifully, I might say. Yeah.
And providing a lot of commentary on a lot of things. And for some reason, Ted Cruz decided to challenge him on the topic of net neutrality, but in the context of Star Wars.
Well, it's
which
because
was not
IG,
a fight that he should have picked.
But it's also because IG Pi, who is chairman, right?
The FCC.
Running this whole ship into the ground, basically, did this whole video about, like, hey, millennials, this is why we should roll back, blah, blah, blah. And, like, and so Mark Hamill went after Ajit Pai and did hashtag a Jedi you are not.
Right.
And then Ted Cruz hit back at him and, like, basically, like, Star Wars explained to Luke Skywalker. Like, yeah. Enough of you. Ted Cruz, if that's even your real name.
Yeah, so it was just not a wise fight to pick. Again, just like movies, folks can have their opinions on either side, and we're not trying to turn this into a political thing, but I think it's pretty obvious where we stand in terms of net neutrality, because I think it impacts a lot of things in the entertainment world. I think it impacts a lot of things business-wise. It impacts a lot of stuff that hits our daily lives here. And like I said, I personally don't see an upside to it. And I've read the stuff on both sides. Ted Cruz picking a fight with Mark Hamill and in the context of Star Wars just wasn't going to win.
Yeah. That. Doesn't make a lot of sense there. Yeah. No.
You know what it makes me think of is like the Oasis. Like it makes me think of someone creating like the be all and end all thing and then sort of gatekeeping it, you know?
No, that's interesting.
How far away are we from some sort of structure like that where, you may not even get knowledge because this is where we don't have Encyclopedia Britannica anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
They are no more. Yeah. So you're messing with knowledge that kids are using for school. So how does it get into like richer neighborhoods can afford the internet and lower cost neighborhoods and the diversity and the sort of like the gentrification of areas and those kinds of things? How soon before it affects our everyday people say like the internet. Well, it's this little old thing is sticking around. So like, let's not scoff at it.
I think it's got some traction. I think it's going to be here for a while.
Right.
And so much of our daily lives revolves around the internet, whether you think about it or not.
Right.
It does.
Right. Knowledge isn't printed in books the way it used to be. We have to rely on the internet. We're screwed if this is how it's going to play out.
And one of the big measures globally of economic progress when they look at areas around the world and they look at different countries is internet access.
Right. Of course.
Right. Who has access to high speed internet?
Yeah.
Right?
That has become a thing. You guys know I live in the disaster world, and internet access is one of those big things that when we look at an area immediately following a disaster is trying to restore utilities, which includes water. Water's obviously the big thing. You want to make sure folks have potable water. You want to introduce electricity, and you want to get internet access up and running.
Right,
those
because knowledge is
power. Those are three of the big things.
Right. Yeah.
I've never heard anybody want to introduce electricity and water at the same time. That sounded a little bit scary.
Not you usually the want same to separate those two thing,
things. You know?
Not,
oh,
not
oh, I'm
like
sorry.
A hairdresser
okay.
in the. I mean, a hair dryer in the bathtub.
Yeah. No. 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 Nothing like that.
Here, you're standing in the pillow. Here's a hair dryer.
Here's a hair dryer. Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of things you may or not be able to watch on the internet coming up, is you guys know Ronald D. Moore, right?
Love him.
He's done a few small things that we may or may not like. A
couple things you might like.
Big part of Next Generation, big part of Voyager and Deep Space mm-hmm. Nine. He kind of took the helm after Roddenberry passed. And, you know, he did some great stuff with that. And he did a small little, you know, independent sci-fi show called Battlestar Galactica.
Tiny show.
Yeah, and he's done some really good things. Well, he's been tapped on by Apple to do a new space series. And there's not a lot of details about what it's going to be. It's supposed to be a drama surrounding what if the space race never ended. So I don't know what time frame it's going to be set in. I don't think anybody knows yet, but this could be kind of cool. I mean,
yeah.
I've always been a fan of what Ronald D. Moore has done. He's done some good stuff in the past. He does have a new series on Netflix, on Amazon coming out next month, I think, called Electric Dreams. It's a Philip K. Dick version of a story, I guess. I don't know if it has anything to do with Blade Runner
business.
I don't know. It's called Electric Dreams, but you know that was do Cheap Dream.
Yeah, but that's the original. That's where Blade Runner came from, right?
Right. Yeah. Do Andrew's Dream of Electric Sheep.
I mean,
yeah.
you
so,
know how I feel.
I mean,
about Blade
who knows? Anyway, I mean, this could be kind of fun. I'm actually looking forward to this. It's actually the third series that Apple has given money to for the yet unknown way they're going to distribute this to people.
Has Apple done their own stuff before?
They've just started to. I think this year was the first year they've actually greenlit things.
But nothing's come out, right?
Nothing's out yet. Nothing's actually been determined how they're going to distribute it either.
Right.
I mean, is this going to be can we buy this off of iTunes? Is it only going to stream through Apple TV?
All good questions.
Again, nobody knows. There's not a lot of details about the Apple service yet. I imagine it's going to be hooked into iTunes and probably hooked into Apple TV.
And are they ultimately looking to compete with the other streaming services?
I mean,
that's what it looks like.
Brilliant move.
I mean, I think they'd be stupid not to try.
Right.
I mean, you got a company with a lot of money behind them and access to a lot of screens.
Yeah.
I think they'd be stupid not to be involved in this.
Right.
But the question is, can they make a go of this? Can they make good shows and the money to spend on them?
Right.
Netflix is dumping a lot of money into, their independent stuff they're making up.
And it's all
and
good.
It hasn't really paid off too far. It's very good, but it hasn't really benefited them yet. They're still losing money.
Right.
They need to get that whole thing turned around. I think this whole net neutrality thing might hurt them even more if they're spending all this money on new content and having to charge down more for it or something.
Yeah, so, their fees are going up.
And the Disney pullout hurts them.
Yeah.
The Disney pullout hurts Netflix big time.
Well, especially yep. if they're going to have Hulu be the big competitor with Disney throwing its weight behind Hulu, because Hulu's doing what, better or the same or whatever? I don't know the numbers
I think I would say Hulu is several ranks below Netflix. I mean, they have a handful of good series out there that people have been going to, but they're not at the caliber of Netflix. But with Disney behind them,
right?
And maybe this changes.
That could change quite a bit.
Yeah, maybe this changes Disney's thoughts on their streaming service, or maybe Disney will still maintain Hulu for non-Disney stuff.
I would also say
Disney streaming service for Disney stuff.
I would also say that Hulu plays a different game than Netflix does, because Netflix puts on what has, like, it doesn't do like update episodes of television shows that are on television, and that's what Hulu does. Yeah,
right. It's only after they've been do that. Right.
So that's a little that's a little different game that they're playing.
Yeah, but Netflix has a lot more content, though, comparatively.
I do agree, but I still think that, and Hulu is rolling out their own shows, too, but I do think it's a little bit of a different game that Hulu's playing than Netflix in a certain way.
Mm. Yeah.
But if with Disney behind them, who knows, like, really, who knows what could happen? So Netflix needs to.
Yeah.
Well, I got my email about costs going up. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I got mine, too.
Oh, yeah, we all did, yeah.
I mean, I don't care.
So at the end of this article about Ronald Moore, it says Moore's drama is the third original series that Apple has ordered, including a morning show drama starring and executive produced by Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, and a reboot of Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories from Brian Fuller. Oh. So, you know, they're doing some pretty high profile things. But then it says earlier this year, Apple hired Zach Van Armbug and Jamie Ehrlicht from Sony Television specifically to create original program for the tech giant. How this content will be delivered and made available to viewers remains to be seen. So
interesting.
We shall see. I mean, Apple doesn't usually spend money on things they're not going to profit from. So we'll see how
Apple's a risk taker. So I feel like, I mean, traditionally, if Jobs was still around, they're a risk taking company. So I feel like this is a good risk for them. It fits. It's very on brand, and it makes sense. I'm surprised they haven't tried it before now, but
yeah. Okay. I don't have anything for what were they thinking? Anybody have a surprise story for us?
Ted Cruz.
Yeah, that could have been what were they thinking? Yeah. Taking on a Jedi Master in Star Wars. That's not very smart.
I saw a tweet that said, like, I never thought I'd live to see the day where the Zodiac Killer takes on Luke Skywalker.
Nice. I love it.
Like, that's the best tweet of my life.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, I guess at that point, we're going to wrap this up then. It'll be our last episode for the year. We'll see everybody after the new year. If they have any feedback
for us. 2017.
Yeah, I know. We'll be checking emails between now and the end of the year, though, so please send us an email. randomchatter@randomchatter.com is the best way to get a hold of us, and we'll hopefully respond to you.
And folks, I just want to throw out there that Lizzie's going to Paris here after Christmas. So
I am.
We certainly want to wish her well on her trip, and being the social media pro that she is, I'm sure that she'll be posting stuff up on Twitter and Instagram to tell us all about it. So Lizzie, we will miss you.
Which, Tim, you know what that means? Be
what?
We had to do probably an episode or two without Lizzie for the 2018.
What? Excuse you.
Sorry, Lizzie.
Tim's just going to be watching my social media feeds, hoping that I stay in Paris forever, by the way.
Hey, it was originally a one-way ticket. I was kind of hopeful, but didn't work out.
Hey,
it's a real risk. It's a real risk.
Paris is a cool town.
I'll probably be going to Disneyland Paris, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, very cool.
For those of you who don't know that I'm a diehard Disney fan, then let's meet. I'm Liz. Nice to meet you. you can find us online, me specifically in my Paris adventures on Twitter, which I will be sharing with my Twitter and Instagram followers. So you should come follow me specifically, because I'm awesome.
Wow.
At Nerd in the City.
Wow.
They're shaking their heads at me. But okay, don't pretend like you don't know it's true, though. So if it was not true, then fine, but it's not. So my head does fit through the door. Shut up. Okay, I'm at Nerd in the City on Twitter, and I'm at Nerd in the Sand on Instagram. But you can find us, the three of us, online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, which is more important than me as an individual because we are a group. We are the fantastic three. And you can find at Random Chatter on Twitter, and also you can find Tim at?
You can find me heckling Lizzie at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
Yeah, he does. He does heckle me a lot. And Lou, who doesn't heckle me at all,
no,
is
I'm
at...
nice to you. Just my name, Lou Secki, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
Be sure to check out all of our shows at randomchatter.com. We have all of our different shows listed up there. We've had a lot of new shows come out, everything from microcasts, which are like just a few minutes long, up to our full-length podcasts, all of our you know, kind of main tentpole podcasts, as well as some others. We have a blog up there. It's going to take me a little while to write my next James Bond blog, since I kind of not typing with one hand. And we have a new poll up there.
You can dictate to us.
That's right. We have a new poll that Christy just posted, or Carrie just posted today or yesterday. And so there's all sorts of good stuff up there. So please check us out, randomchatter.com. Listen to all of our shows.
And of course, we'd love it if you left reviews for us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you're getting your podcast from. Helps people find us, helps people find, you know, information about us. You know, mark all the stars off and give us good reviews if you want to. And if there's something wrong, you know, let us know that too. Please do that to us personally, though, not on our reviews, please. and of course, tell your friends about us too. If they're into the same stuff you are, they'd probably like listening to the same things you listen to.
Please also support us on Patreon. We greatly appreciate your support. You'll notice that all of our podcasts are commercial free. You, our listeners, are our sponsors. And you can do that through Patreon. So patreon.com/randomchatter is where you can learn how to sponsor us. Minimum contribution is $1 a month. And that gets you access to our Slack community, which is a good time. We have a bunch of different channels in there. Basically, they're just chat rooms, and you get to talk to hosts like us and other hosts and staff and a lot of other listeners about all sorts of cool things. And in fact, just in the last couple of days, we have had 3 new people join our Slack community, which is really awesome. And yep. So that's, of course, generated a lot of discussion itself. We've had a lot of discussion about The Last Jedi, so we have a particular channel just for that. So we've, you know, have a couple of people who haven't yet seen the movie. So we don't want to spoil them. So we kind of keep things isolated to that channel for there. We can talk about TV shows or comics or games or movies or anything in our Slack community. And it's a lot of fun. It's really interactive. And we try to spend a lot of time in there and we get into some really great discussions. Oftentimes those discussions end up kind of giving us some ideas and some other discussion that we bring to our shows. So we'll oftentimes give call outs to folks in there. Patreon.com/randomchatter, higher contribution levels. Basically with every contribution level, we give something back to you. So if you go to that website, you check it out, you'll see the different levels. So at $1 a month, you get access to Slack. At $5 a month, you'll get access to some premium content. At $10 a month, you'll get access to other things, and 15 and 20 and so forth. And it's all cumulative too. So you give to us, we give to you. It's a good time. That's all I got.
And the music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly.
And of course, that brings us to the end of this episode. So we will see you, well, next year.
On the flip side.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
That's right. Thanks for listening.